Listen to the voices of our world.
Blind loyalty becomes the worst vice going. If we can get a change going in this country, I think we can get back to some good leadership and start pulling out of some of these serious problems. The truth matters, and putting career objectives and politics above the truth is always wrong.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. In the make-believe world of a darkened movie theater, it's safe for us to applaud ethical heroes. Flexing something other than sinew, we rooted for Dr. Jeffrey Wigand, played by actor Russell Crowe in The Outsider, as he risked everything to out Big Tobacco's fat cats. We clenched the armrest as Karen Silkwood, played by Meryl Streep in Silkwood, flirted with early death by exposing problems at a nuclear plant. And we annually missed up when the young George Bailey, in It's a Wonderful Life, stops the grieving pharmacist, his boss, from accidentally dispensing a drug that could have killed a patient. Young George gets slapped before he gets hugged. How do we respond to integrity? Sometimes with punishment, sometimes with reward. Today we'll be talking with a candidate for the United States Congress for Minnesota, a person who knows a thing or two about integrity, former FBI special agent and Minneapolis chief division counsel, Colleen Rowley. The term whistleblower has more than one connotation. Actions that may seem selfless and brave to some are often inconvenient or seen as sabotage by higher-ups with something to hide. Most of us will never be rich or powerful enough to have something to hide, so we appreciate those willing to risk their careers to expose corporate or government wrongdoing. Right now, we seem to be in the midst of an integrity drought. That may have something to do with why Colleen Rowley is running for Congress. If her name seems familiar, you may remember she once shared Time Magazine's Person of the Year cover honors with two other whistleblowers. Colleen Rowley accidentally became a footnote in American history while serving as special agent and chief division counsel for the Minneapolis office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. In the late summer of 2001, fellow agents in her office had zeroed in on a foreign national, Zacharias Moussaoui, who was taking flying lessons but had stated he had no interest in learning to take off or land. Rowley was advising fellow agents seeking search warrants for Moussaoui's computer on probable cause requirements. As she would later set forth in a detailed 13-page letter in May 2002 to FBI Director Robert Mueller, she was also, along with fellow agents, desperately trying to get Washington headquarters to recognize the gravity of a clear and present threat. When the Immigration and Naturalization Services officers arrested Moussaoui on August 15, 2001, there were 16 days left to get information from Moussaoui about his friends who would fly planes into buildings on September 11th. At the moment, however, the Beltway power brokers seemed to favor cronies over the scrupulous. And recently, Bush administration lawyers intervened in the case of Sabellos versus Garcetti to urge the court to restrict the free speech rights of public employees. Watching the October 13th video of Pentagon communications aide Allison Barber carefully run a group of selected soldiers through their lines for a teleconference with President Bush, it's more clear than ever that this White House prefers rehearsed and controlled speech. That said, here's Kathy Golden with Colleen Rowley.
I'm speaking with a woman who once shared the Person of the Year Time magazine cover. That's pretty cool. I don't believe I've ever spoken with a magazine cover before.
Well, I guess the cover is not the meaningful part because a lot of unsavory characters, in fact, have gotten onto magazine covers. It's what is behind it. And, of course, in recent years, we've seen how photo ops and marketing can be used to substitute for the real thing. And, of course, that's one of the reasons why I've never made too much of the Time cover and other magazine publicity, because you have to distinguish between the reality of what action may or may not have merited putting you on the cover with the photo op itself. And, of course, we're seeing so much stuff now that's just simply staged for that purpose.
Very good point. Colleen, why are you running for Congress?
Well, I think the country is in a serious mess. Some people call it a quagmire. And it's not just on any one issue. I mean, there's some overarching issues here. Certainly deficit spending is a huge problem. How are we ever going to get out of this? We're deficient in emergency planning. Even little tiny things that people probably won't even mention today because they don't seem to even rise up to the seriousness of other issues, like the methamphetamine explosion that does impact a lot of rural areas, especially in the Midwest. We are really seeing real serious problems. And the reason for this, I think, is that we have experienced lack of leadership on many levels. You know, like governing by photo opportunity and sliding from one scandal to another. That does not help the country and puts us in the worst possible position for solving and dealing with difficult issues. So I'm going to try to be one little tiny drop in the bucket because obviously a congressperson does not have a tremendous amount of power. Each congressperson on his or her own would not have any real power to completely change things. But cumulatively, if we can get a change going in this country, I think we can get back to some good leadership and start pulling out of some of these serious problems.
Well, Colleen, on your website, above your name always appears, "Always Try." What is meant by that, and who put that on your website?
Well, I'm the person who put it on there, and it is not a campaign slogan. In fact, maybe 60% of people, when canvassed, will say it's an awful campaign slogan because it seems to bring forth images of tilting at windmills and that you try, but you're not successful. And I actually did an informal poll because I started to get so much pressure to change that motto. People don't understand that trying, it's absolutely the opposite of what they think. They think it means that you're unsuccessful. But in truth, all of these situations, if people had just tried and they would not have let the fear or the hopelessness engulf them, they would have found out that they could have possibly been successful.
To me, it says attempt to do the right thing.
Right. And you're in the rarefied maybe 30 or 40%.
Okay.
There's an old test called the Solomon Esch line test. And when you have groupthink dynamics going on, it comes out to be 69% of the people will go with the group without seriously judging for themselves. And 31%, however, will think for themselves and choose the right line. So I kind of tend to be very judicious in who I listen to.
Colleen, if you do end up in the House of Representatives joining this megalithic bureaucracy, what would be more important to you? Because you're going to have a staff. Is loyalty more important or honesty?
Well, I am always going to be on the side of truth. I don't think truth necessarily coincides with the extreme partisanship positions all the time. I certainly don't agree with that, but I do agree that the truth matters, and putting career objectives and politics above the truth is always wrong.
However, the current administration does seem to reward, it would appear, yes people, from Karen Hughes and Harriet Meyer and Mike Brown and Karl Rove and the rest of it. General Shinseki was sidelined, Paul
right.
O'Neill, Joe Wilson. And you can speak to that very well yourself because of your own experience.
Yes, and there is a lot of stories like this right now because you're absolutely right. The current administration has elevated loyalty, and we lose sight of the fact that when it crosses a certain line, blind loyalty becomes the worst vice going. It's really what existed in Nazi Germany. It's the blue coat of silence in police work. It's good soldier syndrome that covers up the My Lai atrocity. When loyalty, which is normally a good thing, overrides everything else, it becomes the worst vice.
Are you aware of the Garcetti versus Sabalos case?
Yes, actually, I co-wrote an op-ed that was published in the New York Times on this very case. I co-wrote it with Dylan Blaylock, who is a person who works for the Government Accountability Project, kind of a good government organization. And it's a case that won't probably get too much media play. It's not sexy enough to get a lot of play, but it is in a very important issue of whether government employees have a First Amendment freedom of speech for work-related speech. And it does absolutely tie in with good government and the whistleblowing issue. Good government should embrace bottom-up leadership because the people on the front lines, let's go to the terrorism issue, the woman who caught the terrorists coming down from Canada to bomb the Los Angeles airport was a lowly customs inspector. It is always going to be the lower-level employees who are going to be on the front lines. But when you have government from top down, just the opposite of bottom-up leadership, what they will do, and this is what you're seeing right now, they will have preconceived ideological conclusions that they are going into the game with or into the government with. So if they, for instance, don't like the fact of global warming, the ideological conclusion is we got to say there's no global warming. If you're an EPA scientist and you do a study and it comes up with some evidence of greenhouse emissions that do not coincide with that preconceived conclusion, you are in trouble. And if you do not have a freedom of speech of bringing forth your conclusion, we will all suffer from the most horrendously bad government.
Why is it then that folks put down the naysayer, somebody that's shining a spotlight on some small little thing, as you did with Zacharias Moussaoui? Why is that person hushed up?
Well, I think it's all due to control. And if you have a preconceived conclusion that you feel has to be implemented because it's so important, you will want to dismiss and ignore every piece of evidence that goes against your agenda. And that's, of course, very short-sighted because it will never work in the long run. You know, let's go back to global warming. If we very short-sightedly think that our profits, our corporate interests have to absolutely ignore greenhouse emissions and global warming, that might work to boost the profits for a short time, but it's not going to work in any long-term sense. And it's not all government and all managers that do this. The best managers, even in the corporate world, and the best government knows this. And they will say, oh, I have an open door policy. I want you folks to bring me good suggestions for improvement. Now, that's what you want to have. And that does exist in some places. But there's always this tendency to control from top down. And when that happens and when people get too fixated on the need for control, then you really have to hush up and retaliate against everybody. In many cases, what people don't understand, the so-called whistleblower is not some angry person who is going to the press. And in fact, those are the wrong type of models for whistleblower. Usually it turns out to be someone like Sharon Watkins, who goes to the boss, to Kenneth Lay, and says, this was in Enron, and she thought she was giving him his quote-unquote leadership moment. She's bringing him an issue that she thought was very serious. She has seen these figures and these economic results and profits, and she says, you know, I'm going to take it to him because I think he'll fix it in a very naive way. Most so-called whistleblowers are like that. They naively believe that their suggestion or their recommendation will be actually embraced.
Whether in business or government, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is integrity? Email us. Go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us or call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World. We'll be right back.